Kita percaya bahwa Tuhan akan membawa revival dalam gereja.
We believe that God will bring revival through this church.
Yaitu memindahkan dari orang-orang dari gelap kepada terangnya yang ajaib.
That is to move people from the darkness to His glorious light.
Nah, untuk kita bisa mengalami revival,
for us to be able to experience revival,
kita perlu revivalist.
We need to have revivalists.
Yaitu orang-orang yang berani hidup radikal dengan firman Tuhan.
That is those people who be bold enough to live radically for God.
Oleh sebab itu hari ini saudara sampai 4 bulan mendatang ini,
so that's why from today up until 4 months from now,
kita akan belajar tentang hidup Daniel.
We're going to learn about Daniel's life.
Mungkin saudara berpikir kenapa saya pilih Daniel?
Maybe you might think why are we choosing Daniel?
Saudara, Daniel bersama teman-temannya pada waktu mereka dipindahkan dari Yerusalem ke Babylon itu masih teenager.
Daniel, when he was moved from Jerusalem to Babylon, they were still teenagers.
Jadi saudara bisa bayangkan orang-orang seusia teenager, anak-anak Anda, diasingkan ke satu negara yang sama sekali mereka tidak familiar.
So you can imagine these teenagers are being exiled onto a country that they're not familiar with at all.
Pada waktu itu Daniel bersama teman-temannya keturunan bangsawan.
So Daniel and his friends are actually noblemen.
Dan mereka dipersiapkan untuk kerajaan Yehuda.
They will probably have been prepared for the Judah kingdom.
Di bagian administrasinya.
In the administrative role perhaps.
Tetapi oleh Nebukadnezar mereka dipindahkan ke Babylon.
But Nebuchadnezzar exiled them all to Babylon.
Nah, di Babylon pada waktu itu mereka punya pengetahuan yang jauh lebih maju daripada Yerusalem.
So at that time Babylon was a lot more modern than Jerusalem.
Terutama di dalam hal-hal mistik, saudara.
Especially in the mystical realm.
Mereka paling banyak percaya hal-hal mistik.
The Babylonian believe in a lot of mysticism.
Dan saudara bisa bayangkan Daniel bersama teman-temannya belajar hal-hal yang bertentangan dengan iman mereka.
You can imagine how Daniel and his friends learn about things that is contradictory to their belief.
Yang hebatnya mereka bisa lulus paling bagus.
But the amazing thing is that they can graduate, you know, with a really good mark.
Mereka juara dari semua orang yang disekolahkan sekolah spesial yang mendapat scholarship pada waktu itu.
They probably top all of the, you know, people who won the scholarship at that time.
Tetapi yang luar biasanya dari Daniel, Sadra, Mesa, Abednego, mereka tidak kompromi dengan iman mereka.
But the most amazing thing about them is that they don't compromise their faith.
Saudara, tujuan saya membuka kitab Daniel adalah
my purpose to open up learn about the book of Daniel is because
supaya ketika anakmu nanti sekolah di universitas,
so that when your kids study in university later on,
mereka belajar tentang sekuler,
they'll study about secular stuff,
mereka tidak terkontaminasi dengan hal yang mereka pelajari,
they will not be contaminated with the stuff that they learn.
Jadi buku Daniel adalah mempersiapkan anak-anak kita, the next generation, untuk hidup kudus di hadapan Tuhan.
So I want the book of Daniel to prepare our kids so that they can live a holy life in the future.
Saudara sebagai orang tua harus mendoakan anak-anakmu.
You as parents need to pray for your kids.
Jangan, saudara, anak-anak kita bisa menjadi alat bagi Tuhan untuk ke depan.
You know, your kids can be a tool for God in the future.
Daniel hidup 70 tahun lebih di Babylon.
Daniel lived around 70 years in Babylon.
Dia mengalami 4 raja.
He served 4 kings.
Saudara, yang pertama adalah Nebukadnezar.
So the first one was Nebuchadnezzar.
Kedua, Belhazar.
The second one was Belhazar.
Kemudian Darius.
Yeah, the third one is Darius.
Waktu Darius menjadi raja, mereka mengganti dari Babylon menjadi Persia.
So when Darius became king, he changed from Babylon to the Persians.
Saudara, di situ Daniel menjadi orang nomor 2 di kerajaan.
So at that time, Daniel became the second most powerful man in that kingdom.
Nah, oleh sebab itu saudara mengenal Daniel waktu dia masuk di di gua singa.
You probably have heard about how Daniel was thrown into the lion's den.
Karena pada waktu itu saingannya 120 orang-orang pinter.
because he was competing with 120 scholars at that time.
Mereka tidak bisa mengalahkan hikmat Daniel.
They cannot beat Daniel's wisdom.
Satu-satunya yang bisa mereka kalahkan adalah imannya.
So the only thing that they can try to pick was Daniel's
Sorry,
faith.
Sorry, bukan kalahkan tapi salahkan imannya.
So the only thing that they can pick up something wrong about Daniel was his faith.
Karena Daniel setia kepada Tuhan.
Because Daniel was faithful to God.
Nah, setelah kemudian dia lepas dari Darius.
When dia
selesai dengan dari Darius. Darius.
So after Darius's reign.
Kemudian Raja Kores.
And the last one was King Koresh.
Dan Raja Koresh lah yang terakhir yang memerintahkan, yang memulihkan Israel, saudara.
So King Koresh was the last king that revived Israel.
Nah, dari Daniel, saudara dan saya belajar bahwa setiap masalah yang kita hadapi.
So from Daniel, you can learn from every single problems that we face.
Bukan berarti Tuhan tidak ada bersama kita.
Doesn't mean that God is not with us.
Allah di situ.
God is there.
Tetapi dari persoalan yang kita hadap, masalah yang kita hadapi, tekanan yang kita hadapi.
From the problems and pressures that we face.
Untuk mempersiapkan kita di tantangan yang berikutnya.
He's actually there to prepare us for the next challenge.
Kenapa saya katakan demikian?
Why do I say like that?
Karena di dalam 5 chapter nanti saudara pelajari.
Because in the next 5 chapters that we're going to learn.
Daniel diuji dari hal yang kecil, saudara.
Daniel was tested from the very small.
Dari hal makanan.
From food.
Dan kemudian Tuhan membawa dia kepada trial yang berikutnya.
And then God bring him to the next trial.
Sampai trial yang terbesar.
Until the biggest trial.
Dan untuk masa depan dia, untuk mempersiapkan dia menjadi orang yang kedua di kerajaan.
Then all of these are to prepare him to be the second most powerful.
Saudara, jangan persiapkan anakmu menjadi orang nomor satu di university.
You must not prepare your kid to be the number one person in the university.
Kalau saudara belajar kitab Daniel, saudara, kita tahu kalau semua itu karena Tuhan.
If you learn from Daniel, you will realize that everything is because of God's power.
Dia tidak minta kepada Tuhan untuk menjadi orang yang paling berpengaruh di kerajaan Babylon.
Daniel didn't ask God to be the most powerful man in Babylon.
Tapi dia menjaga kesetiaan hatinya.
But he was just guarding his faith.
Dia tidak pernah kompromi.
He didn't compromise.
Oleh sebab itu Tuhan yang membawa dia.
And that's why God bring him.
Kalau Anda ingin anakmu menjadi orang yang berpengaruh di kemudian hari.
If you want your children to be an influential person in the future.
Anakmu harus mengenal Allah yang sangat setia.
Your children have to know the God who is very, very faithful.
Kalau tidak, anak kita tidak akan meninggalkan imannya.
Otherwise, your children will leave their faith.
Oke, sekarang kita masuk bagian yang sangat membosankan.
So now let us enter a very, very boring part of this.
Saudara tahu saya pelajarin ini 3 bulan.
You know, I learned about this for 3 months.
Saya pelajari kitab dan karena pada waktu itu Ruth minta saya khotbah berseri.
I started to learn about this because Ruth want me to preach in a series.
Jadi saya harus tahu bagaimana membagi kitab Daniel ini sampai seri yang terakhir.
So I need to be able to split this Daniel books into a couple of sermons.
Saya cari buku-buku yang berhubungan dengan Daniel.
So I look for all of the books that have something to do with Daniel's.
Dan atas bantuan Jimmy Sandra saya bisa lebih gampang untuk membagi chapternya.
So with the assistance of Jimmy and Sandra, I can divide all of the Daniel's book into sermons more easily.
Tapi hari ini saya akan share pertama untuk yang membosankan.
But today I will share something which is probably gonna be a bit boring.
Karena kenapa membosankan?
Why is it boring?
Coba kita lihat ini dulu ini, saudara. Ya di PowerPoint ya, okay, good. Yes.
Let's look at the PowerPoint.
Ini jalan nggak ya? Tunggu sebentar, sabar ya. Oke, good. Nah, okay. Karena ini kita harus tahu ceritanya terlebih dahulu.
That is because we need to know the background story.
Yang membosankan baca firman adalah kalau saudara tidak tahu latar belakangnya.
You will feel bored to read the word of God if you don't know the background story.
Tapi kalau saudara mengerti latar belakangnya, maka saudara, oh pantesan.
But if you understand the background story, then the word of God will be a lot more interesting.
Nah, Saudara, 600 tahun sebelum Yesus lahir.
So 600 years before Jesus was born.
Di Middle East, saudara.
In Middle East.
Ada tiga kerajaan besar.
There were three empire.
Yang clash satu dengan yang lain.
That, you know, they clash to one another.
Yang pertama adalah Assyria.
So the first one was Assyrian.
Saudara, kerajaan Assyria ini atau Asyur itu memerintah 150 tahun.
So Assyrian kingdom was there for 150 years.
Saudara bisa bayangkan pada waktu zaman Obama saudara mengenal di bagian Syria dan juga di bagian Northern Iraq itu ada namanya kelompok ISIS.
So you probably know during Obama's time in the Syrian region and also Northern Iraq there is this gang called ISIS.
Saudara, dari mana ISIS tahu cara brutal membunuh orang?
So you might wonder how do they know how to torture and kill these people?
Dari Assyria.
From Assyria.
Jadi kalau waktu zaman Assyria semua musuhnya saudara yang laki kalau dia penggal kepalanya.
So during Assyrian time they will chop off the head of all of their enemies.
Yang perempuan lagi hamil dibelah perutnya.
So the pregnant women will be split into they open up their womb.
Kalau anak saudara atau bayi itu dilemp kakinya dipegang dilempar ke tembok kepalanya.
Oh my goodness. And if you have an infant child, they will grab him by the leg and then throw him against a stone.
Saudara bisa bayangkan hidup pada zaman dulu.
You can imagine, how bad life was in that time.
Oleh sebab itu hari ini kalau saudara lihat Middle East tidak pernah ada damai.
And that's why when you see Middle East right now, there is no peace.
Selalu ada organisasi ini dan organisasi ini yang saling clash satu sama lain.
There is always, this organization and that organization that clash against one another.
Mereka satu agama tetapi lain suku.
They may be, having one religion but they have, different tribes.
Kenapa mereka saling bunuh membunuh?
Why do they kill each other?
Karena dari Assyria.
Because of Assyria.
Saudara, di lain pihak ada satu raja, ada satu kerajaan namanya Babylon.
On the other hand, there is a kingdom called Babylon.
Ini rajanya masih muda, namanya Nebuchadnezzar.
The king was still very young. His name is Nebuchadnezzar.
Nah, di raja di satu map yang lain adalah Egypt atau Mesir.
And there was also another huge kingdom which was Egypt.
Nah, perhatikan. Egypt, Mesir dan Assyria itu bersekutu.
So Egypt and Assyria was allies.
Nah, waktu itu Babylon rajanya masih muda, Nebuchadnezzar.
So at that time Babylon the kingdom was still very young.
Lalu dia pikir dia harus bisa kalahkan Assyria.
So the king thought I need to be able to defeat Assyria.
Waktu dia memerangi Assyria, saudara.
When he go to war against Assyria,
Egypt Mesir membantu Assyria.
Egypt, help Assyria.
Nah, saya potong sedikit saudara. Waktu itu kerajaan Israel kerajaan Israel ada dua bagian waktu itu.
So at that point in time, Israel was divided into two
Yang
kingdoms.
Satu bagian utara ibu kotanya Samaria.
So the northern part with the capital in Samaria.
Itu yang sudah dibantai oleh Assyria.
That has been, destroyed by Assyria.
Tidak ada lagi kerajaannya.
So the kingdom was there no more.
Kerajaan yang kedua, Yehuda, yaitu bagian selatan ibu kotanya Yerusalem.
So the second kingdom was Judah in the southern part, and the capital was Jerusalem.
Alas per kerajaan ini karena belum waktunya.
God spared this kingdom because it's not time yet.
Nah, waktu Raja Neko, yaitu dari Egypt, mau menyerang Babylon.
When King Neko from Egypt wanted to attack Babylon.
Ya, kemudian saudara, waktu itu di Yehuda, Raja Yosia.
So at that time, Judah was ruled by the King Josiah.
Nah, Yosia ini raja yang baik di hadapan Tuhan.
Josiah was a good king in the eyes of God.
Jadi ada tiga raja waktu Yosia, tunggu deh, nanti saya jelasin deh. Yosia baik di hadapan Tuhan. Nah waktu waktu Neko mau menyerang Babylon, dia melewati Palestine.
So when Neko wanted to attack Babylon, he need to pass the Palestine region.
Yosia tidak bertanya kepada Tuhan.
Josiah didn't ask God.
Lalu dia mengkerahkan tentaranya untuk memerangi Neko.
He get his army to be ready and he attack Neko.
Karena engkongnya Yosia yaitu Hezkia.
Because Josiah's grandfather, which is
Hezkia.
Hezkia.
Itu telah menangani persekutuan dengan Babylon.
Had an alliance with Babylon.
Jadi dia pikir ini kan temannya engkongnya.
So he thought, oh, this is my grandfather's friend.
Jadi dia memerangi Neko.
So he went and go against Neko.
Karena dia tidak bertanya sama Tuhan, akhirnya Neko membunuh Yosia.
Because he didn't consult God, so Neko ended up killing Josiah.
Perhatikan saudara, dia mati sebelum waktunya.
So pay attention to this. He died before his time.
Tuhan sayang kepada Yosia.
God loves Josiah.
Tetapi Yosia tidak meminta petunjuk Tuhan waktu itu.
But Josiah forget to ask for God guidance at that time.
Oleh sebab itu dia mati sebelum waktunya.
And that's why he died before his time.
Nah, waktu dia mati, maka anaknya diangkat menjadi raja.
So when he died, his son became the king.
Tetapi raja Mesir, Neko, tidak mau anaknya yang pertama jadi raja, dia mau anak yang kedua.
But Neko does not want the first son to be the king, but he want the second son to be the king.
Jadi anaknya yang kedua dipilih menjadi raja.
So the second son was chosen to be the king.
Dia ganti namanya menjadi Yoyakim.
So he changed his name to Jehoiakim.
Yeah. Jadi Yoyakim, saudara. Ya. Nah, kalau saudara nanti baca bersama saya di dalam Daniel 1 ayat 1 dan 2, itu Yoyakim, raja Yehuda yang diangkat oleh Neko.
So if you read in the Bible, Jehoiakim was the king of Judah who was chosen by Egyptian king Neko.
Kemudian Babylon berhasil mengalahkan Mesir dan Assyria.
So Babylon successfully conquered Egypt as well as Assyria.
70 tahun Babylon memerintah.
For 7 years Babylonian rules.
Nah, setelah dia mengalahkan Egypt dan Assyria, dia datang ke Yerusalem.
After Babylon win against Assyrian and Egypt the Egyptians, he went to Jerusalem.
Lalu dia melihat beberapa orang yang pintar-pintar di Yerusalem.
So he saw a couple of pretty smart people in Jerusalem.
Seperti yang saya katakan, dia menemukan Daniel bersama teman-temannya di situ.
So he found Daniel and a couple of his friends there.
Lalu dia membawa mereka, dia pindahkan ke Babylon.
So he bring them all to Babylon.
Karena dia pikir mereka ini bisa menolong dia di bagian admin untuk kerajaannya di Babylon.
Because the king thought that they can help him in administrative stuff in Babylon.
Dan kemudian saudara, setelah Daniel dibawa ke sana, dipindahkan.
So after Daniel was brought to Babylon with his friends.
Kemudian Yoyakim berontak kepada dia.
And Jehoiakim rebel against the king.
Nah, setelah itu dia datang ke Yerusalem. Dia bantai semuanya di Yerusalem.
So King Nebuchadnezzar went to Jerusalem and he slaughtered everyone in Jerusalem.
Lalu anaknya dia angkat menjadi raja.
So he then appointed Jehoiakim's son to be the king.
Nah, setelah anaknya diangkat menjadi raja, saudara, 3 bulan aja anaknya berontak lagi.
So after this this guy was anointed to be the king. Only after 3 months, he rebelled against the King Nebuchadnezzar again.
Oh, sekarang ini dia datang dengan pasukannya dan dia ambil semua key leadersnya di Yerusalem.
So this time King Nebuchadnezzar go back to Jerusalem and he take all of the key leaders from Jerusalem.
Dia ambil semua orang-orang pintar yang orang-orang yang punya skill di dalam untuk bikin emas, tembaga dan semuanya.
He take all of the skillful men, you know, those that can do artwork and things like that, and also all of the wise men, he take them all.
Semua yang istana yang dibangun oleh Salomo yang dilapisi emas dikerak sama dia dibawa ke Babylon.
The golden palace that Solomon created, he take all of the gold and he bring them all to Babylon.
Inilah yang disebut namanya the first deportasi.
And this is what is called the first deportation.
Nah, sudah dia angkat pamannya Yehoyakin untuk menjadi raja.
So
namanya Zedekiah.
So King Nebuchadnezzar now appoint Jehoiakim's uncle to be the king in Jerusalem, which is King
Zedekiah. Lucu, kalau mereka dulu raja dulu mengangkat seseorang jadi raja, dia ganti namanya.
So you know the thing about you know kingdom at that time when he become a king, he will change his name.
Jadi Zedekiah bukan nama aslinya, dia diberikan nama oleh Nebuchadnezzar.
So Zedekiah is not really his real name. It's the name that was given by King Nebuchadnezzar.
10 tahun kemudian Zedekiah berontak sama Babylon.
So 10 years later Zedekiah also rebel against King Nebuchadnezzar.
Saudara, kali ini marah si Nebuchadnezzar.
So this time Nebuchadnezzar was really really angry.
Dia tidak langsung serang Yerusalem.
He did not attack Jerusalem straight away.
Dia kepung Yerusalem.
He just created a siege.
Dia tidak ada satu orang pun yang keluar dari Yerusalem atau masuk ke Yerusalem.
So there was no one who can enter nor get out from Jerusalem.
18 bulan dia kepung kota itu.
For 18 months he held siege against Jerusalem.
Kenapa dia kepung begitu? Supaya orang Yerusalem itu menderita kelaparan.
Why did he do that? So that Jerusalem experienced famine.
Saudara, disitulah orang Yerusalem yang mengenal kata makan, saling makan, saudara, makan daging manusia.
So during that time, you know, they went into cannibalism because there's no food.
There's no food. Miskin.
They were really, really poor.
Setelah itu, Nebuchadnezzar menyerang Yerusalem, dia robohkan semua tembok Yerusalem.
So after that, King Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem and he destroyed all of the wall.
Kemudian dia bawa sisa-sisa yang masih ada.
And he bring all of the remnants that was still left in Jerusalem.
Dia bakar rata kota itu.
He burned the city down to the ground.
Dan dia tinggalkan orang-orang miskin melarat di kota Yerusalem.
And he only left those who are very very poor or very very sick in Jerusalem.
Dan itulah yang disebut namanya the second deportation.
And that's what's called the second deportation.
Yehuda hancur.
Yehuda was finished.
Kerajaan yang Tuhan cintai dari Yerusalem dan dari sama Israel hancur total.
The Judah, the kingdom that God loved so much, was destroyed.
Saudara, kenapa ini bisa terjadi?
So why all this happened?
Sekarang pertanyaan, kok Tuhan dulunya membuat covenant kepada Abraham, kok sekarang akhirnya orang-orang Israel sendiri dideportasi dan dibunuh oleh orang-orang Babylon?
So we might wonder why, you know, God that had created a covenant with Abraham now allowed his people to be taken away by the Babylonian king.
Saudara, ini salah semua karena kejahatan raja-raja dulu.
So all of this is because of the evilness of all of the kingdoms of kings of Israel.
Saya stop dulu sebentar buat orang tua.
Let me pause here for a moment for all of the parents here.
Apapun yang saudara lakukan hari ini, keputusan yang saudara ambil hari ini.
Whatever things that you do today, your decisions that you do today.
Selalu pikirkan ke depannya.
Always think forward to the future.
Karena kalau saudara yang tidak mengalami konsekuensinya, tapi anak-anakmu, keturunanmu yang akan mengalami.
Because you may not feel the consequences, but your children will.
Waktu Hezkia. Raja Hezkia ini baik sekali di hadapan Tuhan.
When Hezkia was really really good in front of God.
Saudara masih ingat waktu dia sakit dan Nabi Yesaya datang kepada dia dan mengatakan kamu akan mati.
Still remember when he was very ill and Isaiah went to him and he prophesied that you will die.
Lalu kemudian Hezkiah datang kepada Tuhan, dia menangis, dia katakan, aku kan baik orangnya, aku enggak melakukan hal yang jahat di matamu, kenapa aku mati muda?
And Hezkiah prayed to God, you know, and sobbing said, you know, I'm not bad. Why do I have to die young?
Nah, kemudian Tuhan katakan kepada Yesaya, bilang sama dia, aku perpanjang lagi umurnya 15 tahun.
And God said to Isaiah to tell back to the king that he will prolong his life for another 15 years.
Nah, saudara, pada waktu Hezkiah sembuh, maka utusan dari Babylon.
So when Hezkiah recovered, there was an envoy from Babylon.
Jadi Raja Babylon mengirim utusan kepada Hezkiah.
So King of Babylon sent his envoy to Hezkiah.
Dia membawa hadiah yang besar.
So this envoy bring a you know huge present.
Seolah-olah untuk mengucapkan, wow, kita juga turut bergembira, Anda sudah sembuh.
As if you know they wanted to tell Hezkiah, hey, we are also so happy that you've recovered.
Lalu kemudian Hezkiah saking senangnya, dia bawa mereka tour, jadi namanya royal tour ke seluruh istana.
So you know Hezkiah was so happy and he bring them for a royal tour around the palace.
Dia tunjukkan semua dia punya kekayaan.
He showed the envoy all of the wealth that he has.
Dia punya kekuatan.
All of his power.
Nah, waktu utusan ini kembali ke Babylon.
So when this envoy is returned to Babylon,
Yesaya, Nabi Yesaya datang ke Hezkiah.
Isaiah came back to Hezkiah.
Tadi siapa?
Who was that guy?
Hezkiah cerita sama Nabi Yesaya.
So Hezkiah tell Isaiah.
Lalu kemudian Yesaya bilang, kok kamu goblok banget?
And Isaiah scolded him, why were you being so foolish?
Saudara, saya minta gambarnya lagi coba. Biarin tetap di situ. Karena saya enggak bisa konsentrasi kalau tiba-tiba hitam.
We want the picture to be left there.
Tadi ayat tadi. Oke, okay, good. Terus. Jangan dimatiin, please. Jangan dimatiin.
Okay, please don't turn it off.
Oke, okay, that's it. Oke, okay, good. Now. Lalu Yesaya bilang begini sama Hezkiah. So sesungguhnya satu masa akan datang bahwa segala yang kamu tunjukkan di istanamu, yang disimpan oleh nenek moyangmu akan dibawa ke Babylon. Dan tidak ada barang yang ditinggalkan. Demikian firman Tuhan.
Okay, so the second Kings chapter 20 verse 17 says, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord.
Dan dari keturunanmu yang keperoleh, mereka akan dibawa ke Babylon.
And some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away. And they shall be eunuch in the palaces of the king of Babylon.
Nah, sekarang pertanyaan kita. Emangnya salah apa kalau gue bawa mereka jadi apa royal tour gitu?
So, you know, the question is, what's wrong with the royal tour?
Ternyata, saudara, pada zaman dulu, saudara.
So, you know, at the custom on those at that time.
Karena Babylon dengar sebelumnya itu Hezkiah telah mengalahkan Assyria dan Sanherib.
Because at that time Babylon heard that Judah has defeated what was the king's name again?
Assyria dan Sanherib, satu Assyria lagi, dua raja besar.
And Sanherib.
Nah, karena Tuhan yang berperang untuk Hezkiah waktu itu.
That is because God was on Hezkiah's side at that time.
Dan karena Babylon dengar.
But because Babylon heard it,
dia mau menyerang, mau hancurkan Assyria waktu itu.
And they had the ambition to destroy Assyria.
Makanya dia kirim utusan untuk kepada Hezkiah.
That's why he sent his envoy to Hezkiah.
Dia bawa Rolex atau Ferrari.
He bring his Rolex or Ferrari.
Bukan seolah-olah dia cuma bilang, oh congratulations, kamu udah sembuh.
It's not just to congratulate him that he has recovered.
Tapi dia mau supaya Hezkiah menjadi sekutunya Babylon.
No, but he want Hezkiah to be Babylon's ally.
Satu hal yang saudara dan saya harus belajar di sini.
One thing that you and I have to learn from this thing.
Kalau orang kasih Anda sesuatu yang wow, wow, I'm not deserve it. Wah, oh, thank you loh, Jun, kalau kamu kok bisa perhatiin Om begini.
So if someone give you a presence that's, you know, wow you.
Hati-hati, saudara.
Be careful.
Karena kadangkala ada ujungnya.
Because sometimes there is something behind the present.
Oleh sebab itu, ini tradisi kita orang Asia dan Middle East sama.
So in this manner, the tradition of the Middle East and Asians are probably somewhat pretty
similar. Kalau kita mau bisnis, biasanya ada sesuatu yang kita kasih dulu.
So if we want to have a business with someone, normally we, you know, try to smooth things up with a present.
Karena itu kebudayaan kita, jadi kita tuh sungkan.
Because this is our culture and, you know, we feel obliged to do that.
Hezkia menerima persahabatan.
Hezkia accepted the token of friendship.
Makanya Yesaya marah sama dia.
And that's why Isaiah was really, really angry.
Saudara, banyak sekali pattern yang orang-orang Yehuda dan Israel dulu belajar dari kerajaan-kerajaan yang tidak kenal Tuhan.
Many patterns that Judah and Israel learned from other kingdoms that does not know God.
Mereka selalu meniru keadaan.
They try to copy the situation at that time.
Saya mau supaya saudara dan saya tidak kompromi.
I want that you and I do not compromise.
Saudara harus tahu bahwa kalau orang berbuat baik kepada Anda, nanti takutnya ada ujungnya.
So you have to realize when somebody, you know, do something good to you, there might be something that they want in return.
Saudara harus bilang, aku terima barangnya, tetapi kalau ada sesuatu yang engkau minta melebihi compromise imanku, aku tolak, mendingan kamu ambil dulu barangnya sekarang.
So you might want to say that, you know, okay, I will accept this gift, but if there is something that you want me to do that is against my faith, then you know, you better off taking this gift first.
Oleh sebab itu Tuhan marah sama Yehuda.
That's why God was angered by Judah's action.
Jadi saudara mengerti kenapa sampai Tuhan memberikan mereka di tangan orang-orang yang tidak mengenal Tuhan.
So now you understand why God give them onto the hand of their enemies that don't know God.
Saudara yang dikasih Tuhan, kalau kita belajar kitab Daniel.
So friends, if we learn the book of Daniel,
kita lihat bagaimana dia menulis sendiri cerita ini.
We learn how he wrote this story by himself.
Buku Daniel bukan orang lain tulis, tetapi dia nulis sendiri.
So the book of Daniel was not written by anybody else but Daniel himself.
Tujuannya satu, supaya Anda bisa mengerti kalau Anda mengalami tantangan dalam hidup ini.
So the purpose is so that you can understand when you face challenges in your life.
Berapa besar pun pressure yang ditaruh dalam dirimu.
No matter how much pressure that you know go against you.
Baik di sekolahan maupun di dalam community maupun di dalam bisnis.
Maybe it's in your school or maybe it's in your community or maybe it's in your business.
Anda bisa belajar dari Daniel.
You can learn from Daniel's life.
Dia tidak pernah kompromi.
He did not compromise.
Tetapi juga kalau dia menolak dengan hikmat Tuhan.
But if he refuses to do something, he refuses it with the wisdom of God.
Dia radikal, tetapi dia punya hikmat.
He was radical, but he also have wisdom.
Saudara, kita enggak perlu kelihatan rohani.
We do not need to look, you know, religious.
Saudara enggak perlu jadi full timer seperti saya.
You do not need to be a full timer like myself.
Saudara masuk di dalam dunia pekerjaan.
You can work a normal, you know, work
di marketplace.
In the marketplace.
Tetapi jadilah terang di sana, saudara.
But be the light in the marketplace.
Seperti Daniel, dia menjadi terang di marketplace.
As just like Daniel, he became the shining light in the marketplace.
Raja Nebukadnezar, Raja Belshazzar, Darius, Kores melihat kehidupan Daniel.
King Nebuchadnezzar, King Belshazzar, King Darius, and King Kores look up to Daniel's life.
Kalau satu raja bertobat, seluruh rakyatnya ikut bertobat.
If one king, repented to God, the whole nation repented to God.
Doa saya supaya Anda bisa mendidik dan mendoakan anakmu supaya menjadi the second Daniel.
My prayer is that so that you can pray for your kids to be the second Daniel.
Jangan kasih nama anakmu Daniel tapi karakternya enggak kayak Daniel.
Don't give, you know, your child's name Daniel but he don't have a Daniel's character.
Kalau saya ganti namanya.
If it's me, I will change his name.
Kalau Anda kasih nama anaknya Daniel, Anda harus minta anakmu hafalin kitab Daniel dari awal sampai akhir.
If you are bold enough to name your son to be Daniel, he have to remember the book of Daniel from the front to the back.
Sampai dia tahu hidup seperti Daniel.
So that he can live a life just like Daniel's life.
Namamu tidak membuat engkau jadi orang besar.
Your name does not make you into a great person.
Tapi karaktermu membuat orang menjadi lebih besar, menjadi engkau besar.
But your characters will determine, you know, how great you're gonna be.
Yang berikutnya, jangan pernah bermimpi saudara mau buat something greater for God.
Don't dream that you're going to do something greater for God.
Saya belajar dari kitab Daniel, dia tidak bermimpi untuk membuat something greater for God.
I read from Daniel's book that he did not dream to do something greater for God.
Sering sekali kita bilang, oh kita harus punya impian untuk membesarkan nama Tuhan.
You know, often we said that we have to have a huge dream to bring something good for God.
Saya bilang sama saudara, paling gampang kalau saudara melakukan hal yang besar untuk Tuhan, ada tiga unsur yang saudara hilangkan.
So it's pretty easy to do something that's pleasing to God. Now, there are three things that you have to remove.
Yang pertama, jangan pernah punya kerendahan hati.
The first one,
jangan pernah punya kerendahan hati.
So don't have a humble heart.
Jangan punya belas kasihan sama orang.
Don't have pity for others.
Dan jangan punya waktu untuk Tuhan.
And don't have time for God.
Saudara bisa gampang melakukan hal yang besar untuk Tuhan.
So doing those three things, it's easy to do things for God.
Tapi kalau saudara mau hidup rendah hati,
but if you want to have a humble life,
saudara punya compassion.
You have compassion towards others.
Saudara mau spend more time dengan Tuhan.
You want to spend more time with God.
Saudara tidak akan bisa melakukan hal yang besar untuk Tuhan.
You will not be able to do great things for God.
Kecuali Dia yang melakukan melalui hidupmu.
Except He will do great things through your life.
Dan pada waktu Dia mau melakukan melalui hidupmu.
And when He want to do things through your life.
Dia tidak pernah minta permisi.
He will not, ask for your permission.
Dia tidak katakan, Evans, I will make my name great through you.
He wouldn't ask, hey, I will make my name great through you.
Do you allow me to do that?
Do you allow me to do that?
No. Dia hanya kasih mimpi sama kita.
No, he just give his dream to us.
Dan mimpi itu dia yang akan genapi sendiri.
And he will fulfill that dream.
Oleh sebab itu, didik anakmu bukan nomor satu di universitas.
That's why, teach your son not to be the number one in the university.
Tapi biar dia bertumbuh mencintai Tuhan.
But raise him up to love God.
Cerita sama dia tentang Daniel dan Yusuf.
Tell him stories about Daniel and Joseph.
Supaya mereka mengerti bagaimana menghadapi tekanan-tekanan dari culture di mana mereka dibesarkan.
So that they understand how to encounter, all of the pressures and challenges in these cultures.
Bagian Tuhan adalah membuat mereka besar.
So God's part is to make them great.
Kalau Tuhan sudah melihat hati mereka.
Once God sees their heart.
Sebenarnya membuat nama Tuhan besar melalui hidup kita itu enggak susah.
So to make God looks great through our life is not difficult.
Karena itu bagian Tuhan.
Because that's God's own portion.
Tapi yang susah bagian saudara dan saya.
But the difficult part is our role.
Hidup taat di hadapan Tuhan.
Live faithfully before God.
Kalau orang bilang, lu sih gak zamannya ya ke gereja.
If people told you, it's not in trend anymore to go to church.
Saudara, apapun orang mocking saudara dan saya.
So no matter how much people will mock you.
Saudara tidak tersinggung.
You don't get offended.
Saudara tidak merasa ya.
You don't say could be true.
Tapi saudara percaya bahwa Tuhan itu luar biasa.
But you believe that your God is a good God and great God.
Daniel mengenal Tuhan yang setia.
Daniel know his faithful God.
Oleh sebab itu dia tidak kompromi.
That's why he didn't compromise.
Mereka menyerahkan nyawa mereka untuk kepercayaan mereka.
They give their life to what they believe in.
Firman Tuhan itu indah, saudara.
The word of God is beautiful, friends.
Dikatakan Tuhan yang memberikan.
It says God who gives.
Tuhan yang memberikan Daniel hikmat untuk menafsirkan mimpi Nebukadnezar.
It says it was God who gave Daniel the wisdom to interpret the dream of King Nebukadnezar.
Sementara semua dukun-dukun mau dibunuh sama Nebukadnezar.
Well, all of the scholars was going to be, all of the wizards was going to be killed by King Nebukadnezar.
Daniel datang di hadapan Nebukadnezar.
Daniel came before the king.
Dia bilang, kasih aku beberapa hari waktu.
And he said, give me a couple of days time.
Beberapa hari kemudian dia menghadap Nebukadnezar.
In a couple of days time, he come back to the king again.
Dia ceritakan mimpi itu.
And he tell King Nebukadnezar about his dream.
Nebukadnezar bilang, wow.
And King Nebukadnezar said, wow.
Setiap kali Daniel, apa yang dia lakukan semua dari Tuhan.
Everything that Daniel did was from God.
Tuhan yang memberikan.
God was the one who gave him.
Kalau things. Anakmu satu kali menjadi orang besar di Melbourne, Tuhan yang memberikan.
And one day your child become a great person in Melbourne, God was the one who gave.
Anda tidak akan boasting atau sombong bilang, wah anak gue di luar biasa loh.
You will not boast to other people. Oh, look what I've done to my kids. He's become a great man.
Oma opanya boleh bangga, tapi Anda tahu siapa yang buat dia besar.
The grandparents might be boastful, but you know who make him great.
Tuhan yang membuat dia besar.
God is the one who make the
itulah
person great.
Itulah tujuannya kita belajar firman Tuhan.
And that's why we learn the word of God.
Saya harap Anda 4 bulan setia mendengarkan pengajaran Daniel.
I hope you guys stay faithful for the next 4 months to learn about the book of Daniel.
Supaya enggak bosan dengan satu orang yang berdiri di depan ngajar yang sama, saudara.
So that you don't become bored with one person who is teaching you all the time from the front.
Jadi saya bikin seri ini yang bicara juga orang-orang lain.
So I make this series so that we have a couple of different speakers.
Tapi topiknya semua sama.
But the topic will be the same.
Satu buku yang kami kupas.
One book that we will analyze together.
Mari kita berdiri semua.
Let us all stand up and pray.
When the darkness fall, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Sing, my God will never fail. Oh my God will never fail. Sing it out, church. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle
what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for good. That's his promise to his children. You know, people, you guys might be thinking, it's great to learn about Daniel. We can learn from his character and his resolve to not to faithfully walk before the Lord when everybody else was telling him to bow down to a different king. But maybe you're thinking, well, we're not technically, you know, in Babylon, or, you know, we're thinking maybe the context is a little bit different. It's a bit extreme. But something in the life of Daniel that we have to understand is that he was going through dark times, very dark times. He was a teenager who was taken out of his home, who was seized into a foreign land. And he was familiar with nothing. He was a young man. And you've got to understand that these were very painful times. People were suffering. They were starving in Jerusalem. They were being seized by another kingdom. Anybody who's even watched Game of Thrones, right? You'd know what that's like. You'd know how difficult times of war can be. They were very dark, confusing times. But Daniel resolved to stay faithful to his shepherd. Cannot deny that we are in some pretty dark times right now. You know, there's a meme that says, gosh, it's been the 5 months of January already. Like, it's the new decade, but it feels like this month, January, has just gone by so slowly because of all the things that have happened. We've got natural disaster after natural disaster. You know, not only is Australia still dealing with the bushfires and extreme weather, but now we're dealing with this virus that nobody knows how to deal with at the moment. You go to the stores, I was just hearing before, all the hand sanitizers are gone, if you've noticed, in certain supermarkets. Everybody's scared. Like, I went to the Glen, which is normally a very busy place, but I found parking immediately because nobody's there. We're in some pretty dark times right now. But we have a shepherd who knows how to navigate through all of that. In fact, we have a shepherd who is in control. Like Dad said, it was Daniel who wrote the book. And he said, the Lord gave that king, the king of Judah, into the hands of the king of Babylonia. He knew that God was behind it all. Not that God wanted to cause darkness, not that God was evil, but God was in sovereign control, allowing some things to happen, but to bring about some better things from his people. He wanted to reveal himself as a savior. And I believe that God today wants to reveal himself as a savior to you. That today God wants to reveal himself as a shepherd to your life. That even in the darkest valley, you have a shepherd that can help you navigate through it all. That even through some uncertain and dark times, there is a savior who is sitting on his throne, who is in control. And he didn't cause darkness, but he brings about good. He is the light in darkness. And he wants to navigate your life and turn it for good. There is a shepherd and a savior that wants to walk before you and guide your life. If that is a call for you today, if you believe that that shepherd, Jesus, the Savior, is calling upon your life today, would you put your hand on your heart? If you want to give your life completely to this shepherd and you say, God, I want to follow you wholeheartedly in these dark, dark days, you can be my shepherd. And I'm going to surrender. I'm going to learn to trust you. You're in control. You're a good, good God. That is you. Would you put your hand on your heart and let me pray for you? God, you see everybody that's put their hand on their heart, God. Help us to trust you. Just like Daniel was able to trust his Lord, his King, knowing that despite the dark times he was living in, you were always in sovereign control, bringing good things out of darkness, being the light that will guide us through some very worrying, concerning dark times, God. Lord, open our ears to your voice, that we will hear our shepherd navigate us through some very dark times. Give us your wisdom. Give us ears to hear your word when things are just so confusing. And help us to walk faithfully before you in trusting that even though we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you do. And you are good. And you love us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Lord, we ask for your blessing to be upon your church. God, bless us this week as we step into our daily lives tomorrow, Lord. Remind us again of who we are. Give us the faith to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. To walk faithfully by your truth. To walk faithfully according to the ways of your word, God. Lord, let your spirit be upon us to navigate us through this week and to even witness to the lives of those who are right now feeling confused in the dark times that we are living in. And we ask this in Jesus' name. As one church, we say, amen. Have a blessed Sunday, everybody. We'll be right back.